Down the Dunk Podcast. Good morning or afternoon or evening to you. Welcome to the Down the Dunk Podcast for whatever day it is today. August 8th, actually. We're so close to school, it's getting crazy. Not that that matters to me, but Andrew's back in school teaching. But we're glad you joined us wherever you are. Thanks for tuning us in. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast. Follow us on iTunes and the Pod Center on your smartphone. Search Down to Dunk Podcast. Listen to us, rate us, review us. We'd love to have your information. It's just Andrew and IJ today, and so we're going to jump on in. This is kind of a... We're going to deal specifically with an issue that both Andrew and I are growing ever so tired of, but everybody wants to talk about it, especially if your name is Bill Simmons, about the Harden trade. And so we're going to spend the majority of today talking about the James Harden fateful trade that happened on an October night in 2012. I was sitting... It was crazy. I was at the Notre Dame OU game.
Oh.
And, you know, I was already stressed out because OU was doing what OU does and blowing a game they should definitely win. And my wife is actually the one that was on some text message or Twitter or something where it said, James Harden traded. And the whole time I'm thinking, that's a lie.
Yeah, that can't be true.
That's a lie. And so we were all taken back by it. And kind of what we saw come out of it was Kevin Martin.
Yeah.
Really on a one-year contract, which is all we would have realistically gotten out of Harden.
He's just a big expiring deal.
Yeah. Jeremy Lamb. And then you've got the draft pick of the Toronto Raptors that was protected, top three protected. That pick went to number 12, and we signed Steven Adams. So realistically, we got Steven Adams, Jeremy Lamb, and an expiring contract to Kevin Martin for James Harden. So what we wanted to do today is we wanted to evaluate this trade. Probably both of us confess prematurely. But we've got six questions and a couple from Brian Matthews on Twitter. Thanks for tweeting at us. So let's go. You ready?
I'm ready. This is going to be painful, I'm ready.
I'm ready to put this, especially after I said out loud what we got for him. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, that's not easy to swallow.
No. All right, the first true false question.
You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. True or false time, y'all?
Everybody knew Harden would be an all-star caliber player. True or false?
It's false. I think it's absolutely false. I think there were some teams that were confident. But if the rumors are true that they were trying to get Klay Thompson and Bradley Beal, if those teams knew that he was going to be the player that he was, they would have given those guys up.
Hands down, they'd
quit. Because all they would have had to do, for Bradley Beal, it would have been straight up. And then maybe I think Chris Singleton would have been thrown in. But, there's probably none of you probably even know who Chris Singleton is. He's just, a guy from Florida State who plays defense and really isn't that good. And then the Klay Thompson deal, they would have had to throw in another contract, but it wouldn't have been a player that would have impacted them that much, I don't think. And they would have gotten James Harden. You would do that trade every time if you're Golden State, if you knew what James Harden was going to be.
Think about the Warriors. If they traded Klay Thompson, Klay Thompson's good.
Yeah, Klay Thompson's really
not James Harden.
No, he's not anything close to it. I think it's his floor game that separates, that separates Harden from everybody else.
And Harden could run the point. Like him and Steph could just be both hybrids.
Oh my gosh.
They'd be ridiculous.
It would be unfair.
That would be a bad, bad team, man.
Yeah. They would have, I don't know. They could have beat the Spurs last year, I think.
I think that's true is that, I didn't think about it from that angle in the sense that, for me, I think, we knew he was good.
We knew
he was really good. But nobody knows what a guy like that will do when he is the number one guy on the team. And James Harden, week in and week out, proved that he's an all-star. And I even heard, with the addition of Dwight Howard and seeing how the Rockets respond to that, that there's a chance he'll be in MVP conversation for the next year. I think that's probably a little far-fetched because but
if they get off to a fast start and they
he's scoring at the same pace that he was.
And they're the number one or two seed, I think they'll be in the conversation.
And in the same sense that we talk about Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and Serge developing over the course of a summer, James Harden does the exact same thing going into next year. And so yep. he'll be developed one more year. It's good. And my favorite part about it is now it's the only good part about it, maybe, is the fact that now there's this legitimate rivalry that has blossomed between the Thunder and the Rockets.
Yeah.
And will be there for a long time.
As long as, you know, KD and, you know, Harden are with, you know, the Thunder and the Rockets, there's going to be a rivalry. And that's another thing. It's hard to tell how good a player is when they're playing with the second best player in the world and maybe the seventh best player in the world on their team. And, you know, Harden would, you know, we saw Harden, he had glimpses like in the Dallas series a couple of years ago. He took over, and
played really well in the Spurs series.
In the Spurs series, he was great. In the finals, he disappeared. So it was hard to know, like, which is the, you know, what is Harden going to look like as the number one guy? Is he going to disappear like he did in the finals, or is he going to? And there were stories about him pouting in the locker room about him not getting shots.
Yeah, there was tons of rumors out there about how he behaved in the locker room and that being, but the other deal, unless Presti offered it knowing he wouldn't take it, is they offered him a lot of money. They just didn't offer him the max. And so you can't blame James Harden for not taking it, number one. Like, I've always said, like, he took what he felt like he deserved, number one. He wanted to be the man, number two. And nobody in their right mind signs three max deal wing players. I loved Royce White and
Royce White has an opinion on this, too.
Royce Young and Henry Abbott from True Hoop, they had a conversation about it and just talked about nobody signs three max wing players. I don't think anybody had the expectation that they would sign him at the max, probably. But it's hard to swallow sometimes to walk through that. And so I think both of us said false on that first one. But let's talk about kind of what they got from it. The second question is, losing Kevin Martin leaves the Thunder with nothing from the Harden trade.
So basically, the only thing the Thunder have now is Jeremy Lamb and Steven Adams. So, and there are countless NBA writers and fans that are ready to say that that's nothing. And they could be right. But the problem is that we don't know for sure. Jeremy Lamb hasn't played in the NBA yet. You know, Steven Adams, we don't know if he's going to be good for probably, it may be his next contract that we know if he's an actual player. You know, it could be 3-4 years before he develops. You know, and that happened with guys like Andrew Bynum. Like those guys, I mean, I don't think that he's anywhere close to Andrew Bynum. He doesn't have the skill set that Andrew Bynum does. But it's going to take a while for him to develop. And, we could be surprised. He may be the backup center.
I mean, I think at the end of this year, we were already surprised by how he developed. Like, he looked better than Cole Aldrich did in the summer league.
Yeah, Cole was so bad.
He had, 10 fouls a game or whatever.
He was awful. Cole Aldrich.
It's hard to evaluate this, and I think that's what we're going to keep coming back to is we don't feel comfortable evaluating this trade for 3 or 4 years.
No.
Now, we know the part we lost. Like, we know how big that was, right?
Yeah.
But we don't understand what Jeremy Lamb brings. He could step in next year and fit into that role really, really well.
Yeah.
Or he could be a bust. And Steven Adams, the same thing. If he comes at the end of the year and he's giving us good minutes as the backup center and then maybe goes into the final year of Perkins' contract as maybe almost splitting time with him, then I think that we can start maybe saying maybe it didn't break even, but it wasn't as horrific a trade-off as it would have been.
There, it's going to take a lot for us for the Thunder to break even on the deal.
Yeah,
I mean, Steven Adams will have to be Tyson Chandler for that to happen.
Yeah.
But we can't even evaluate the trade at all this next year, even if Jeremy Lamb is bad. And even if Steven Adams is only in Tulsa, like, I know Thunder fans want to know now, but you're not going to.
Yeah.
I mean, if we do find out this year that it was a decent trade, and I would be really surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, even James Harden, the guy who you think is just the greatest guy ever, was not very good his second year in the league. And he got, pretty good minutes. He didn't shoot the ball well. He didn't look very good. Everybody talked about, it was a huge mistake not taking Tyreek and not taking Steph. That the Thunder just blew that pick, and they could have, sped up their development if they would have taken either one of those guys. I mean, that was the talk. That's what everyone was saying. So we can't even evaluate Jeremy Lamb this next year, even if he does get 15 minutes a game.
And one of the things I thought that Henry Abbott said that was it was good is that Presti almost did too good of a job.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that he's got four guys that he drafted in three consecutive drafts that were all max contract level guys.
Yeah.
Even though Serge didn't get it, he could have gotten, not a max, but he could have gotten more.
There was the contracts that have been handed out, he, on the open market, somebody would have given a lot of money for Serge Ibaka. Yep.
So four guys in three drafts that were that level player, because if Presti went in the same draft with Harden and drafted, even Steph Curry wouldn't have gotten a max if he extended him before this season.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't have. He didn't. He got like 4 for 44, I think.
Which that contract fits where the Thunder would have offered James Harden. And so it was one of those things that I think Harden wanted more.
Yeah.
And I think the Thunder weren't okay with that.
And he wanted to be a star. He wanted to be the star of the team. He wanted to be guaranteed a starting spot. Harden felt like he had given up a lot by, coming off the bench.
Yep.
And
felt like it was a big sacrifice for him.
Yeah. And he knew how good he was. He knew that he could, go toe-to-toe with Westbrook. And so I think he was basically saying, start me and feature me, or I'm going to go be featured somewhere else because I'm better than this.
Yeah. Which doesn't fit the Thunder model. The team is the more important kind of thing. And I think they're going to get tested on that. I don't think Durant leaves, but I think this offseason had to have been frustrating for Durant to watch. And he's a team guy, he's never going to say so, but there's going to be part of him where you see these guys fall through the cracks and go to Memphis and other teams. Now, it ended up working okay. I don't think Mike Miller to Memphis makes Memphis better than us.
Other guys that
are looking for. Chauncey Billups goes to Detroit. Detroit's not better than us. None of the realistic free agents that we could have gotten going anywhere, really. Maybe Delfino going to... No, not Delfino.
He went to Milwaukee.
Bellini. Bellinelli.
Bellinelli.
Bellini. Going to the Spurs. But I mean, it doesn't... Oh, great. They have another perimeter shooter. That didn't change anything.
They replaced Gary Neal with...
Yeah,
exactly. Bellinelli, so...
And so there's not really... nothing really changed, I don't think, the Western Conference that much. I think the Clippers became a better team, but I don't think they're the Western Conference.
Defensively, we don't know where they're going to be.
Yeah.
So they could be really bad defensively. They could be the,
Suns of the
03 Suns or 04 Suns.
Yeah. So, all right, the next one, number three, the trade should be evaluated as a failure today.
I mean, if we're evaluating it today and Steven Adams is who he is today and Jeremy Lamb is a D-leaguer, then it's an absolute failure. But should we evaluate it? No. This trade should not be evaluated today. A lot of people alluded to the Pau Gasol trade and how while the Lakers were winning championships, that just looked like a disaster for Memphis.
It looked like Memphis... padded the Lakers. Jerry West was the GM, and it was like, here's a gift. We'll take the rights to Mark Gasol.
I don't think Jerry West was
he
there.
Not?
No. Okay. But he It just seemed like that. It seemed like this can't be a real trade. You know, it seemed like, I don't know, the Memphis picked the wrong guy off the Lakers team or something. Like, they didn't know what they were doing.
And defensive player of the year and the better of the Gasol brothers.
Yeah. And, you know, and it took time, but, and, you know, Memphis liked Mark Gasol. I don't think they expected Mark to be what he is today.
No.
But that trade doesn't look so bad right now. And so, if we, you know, how long has that been since that trade happened? It's been 5 years. So it took about 5 years for that trade to make sense. And, you know, it could very well take four or five years for the James Harden trade for us to really know, is this a failure or not?
The issue is that I feel like there's, because the spotlight, number one, on the Thunder is so gigantic. Number two, the NBA spotlight is bigger today than it even was back then.
Yep.
And Powell wasn't, when he went to the Lakers, although he was, they wouldn't have won championships without him in those seasons. He wasn't Kobe. James Harden's the Kobe of that team. You know, like, he's going to put that may change, that may shift, but you're going to see every night highlights of James Harden, and you're not going to see highlights every night of Pau Gasol. And so it just makes that.
Yeah, it's in your face.
Yeah, it's in your face a little bit more. If it is evaluated today, I think it's true that it was a failure, but it's not evaluated today.
No, not fairly.
Yeah. The Thunder chose between Serge Ibaka and James Harden.
This is the story. The narrative now is that they did not. Is that they signed Serge Ibaka because they got him at a huge discount, and the plan was to sign them both to sub max deals, and you know, Harden didn't comply. He wasn't on board. Bless you, he wasn't on board. So you know, he's not Manu Ginobili. You know, willing to take less money and be one of the best players in the league. He wants to be a star. Yep. He wants to have his own team. He wants to be the man. He wants to have yacht parties, you know?
And I think the debate for that will come later whenever we have to ask, would you, and I know we probably disagree on this, but if you had the choice between Serge Ibaka and James Harden, you would choose James Harden and I would choose Serge. Just because I feel like there's far more power forwards that are good. Now, Serge needs to be better defending them one-on-one, and he was. He was better this year, and he has been. And then just the rim protection aspect that Serge brings. And somebody would debate that, you know, there's tons of guys out there that can do similar things to Serge can, and not very many that can do it Harden can. And I'd probably agree with that to a point. But I think Serge has a unique combination of a bunch of those things.
He's awesome.
And he's young, and he's very raw to basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So the potential for him, and that's the thing, is the evaluation of Serge Ibaka versus James Harden will be a 10-year thing.
Yeah. I love Serge Ibaka. But to me, there's a clear value difference between the two players. And I think you can go find a power forward that can come in and start. I mean, heck, Nick Collison is on the Thunder, and I would love to see him get more minutes. He's a perfect role player for, you know, what's the type 30, of guys that we have.
33?
I don't know. Is he that old?
I think somewhere around there. I can look that up.
Yeah, look that up. I don't know how old he is, but there are guys out there that you can find that can play power forward. And
he's 32.
He's 32. Yeah, I really like him. He obviously has a much different skill set than Serge Ibaka does. But it's all hindsight, and the contracts would be different too.
Yeah,
you know, Serge's contract is excellent for the type of player that he is. So, you know, I would want, you know, James Harden over Serge. It may not be the best basketball fit, but to me, you figure that out later.
Yeah, you just pick the best player.
But if it were like we're choosing teams for a game right now, like I think that Serge Ibaka would be a better fit.
I think in the end, though, you look at the Thunder and they're just hesitant to dip into the salary tax, at least now.
Yeah, well,
and they're going to get into it eventually, is what
yeah,
you realize.
Yeah, they will, but they're not going to go. They're not going to do that for, you know, Mike Miller or Gary Neal or somebody like that, yeah, who is just a marginal, you know, even borderline NBA player. Like, they're not going to dip into the tax for that. Like, people are upset, but there's nobody out there that's worth spending that money. And Royce Young wrote, if they can avoid the repeater tax, you know, this year, you know, if they don't pay the tax this year, there's like a 3-year repeater tax that, you know, the penalties are just extreme. So maybe they, next off season, they find somebody that can come in, and then they are willing to pay the repeater tax.
All of that is dependent on how Jeremy Lamb develops.
Yeah.
If he comes out here and he gives you 15 good minutes a game, you know, 15 to 20, and then Reggie continues his development, I mean, they don't need a piece.
No, but if they want, to bring in a veteran, you know, that they feel like is kind of a missing piece to a championship run, they will go get that player and they will pay the tax, but they're not willing to pay the repeater tax or start the repeater tax process, basically, is probably what they think, in a year that they're not going to pay Darrell Wright to be that guy, because we don't really even know if he is that guy.
What's going
to
be hard is in another year, they're going to be negotiating with Reggie on an extension. Now, I don't think Reggie asks what Harden asks. Obviously, he doesn't deserve that. But if Reggie has a good season, he's going to be in a bargaining place that he can ask for some money.
Yeah, and the good thing is that whenever his contract will kick in, Perk's contract comes off the books.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is one of the worst contracts in the NBA.
$8 million, $9
million? I think it'll be $9 in his last year. I mean, that's...
You remember how happy you were to get Perkins four years ago or 3 years ago?
I was ecstatic because I thought we were getting a 10-10, one and a half block guy.
We did not get that.
No. No.
This next question comes from Brian Matthews, @Brian_Matthews with a Y on Brian. Thanks for shooting us a tweet. It says, should Presti have waited out the season with Harden? Let's go with Russell injury and without Russell injury. I think that's the thing that makes this sting a little bit more.
Yeah.
Without Russell, if he still gets hurt in a game against whoever they play, because it wouldn't be Houston.
Right.
They still don't get past San Antonio.
Probably not.
Although there's part of me that would have loved to have seen just James Harden running point guard for
them. They would have had a chance, though.
I know. They would have been really good.
Yeah.
But what would have happened is it would have made... The thing that's hard for me is to think about... So if he plays another season where he's the sixth man of the year, goes in the playoffs, Russell gets hurt. This is all hypothetical. Russell gets hurt. Harden steps into that point guard role so he can actually have kind of a Houston Rockets role.
Yeah.
They run out the West, get into the finals, win two games. The conversation has to happen that offseason. Are you picking between Serge and Russ, or Serge and Harden? Are you picking between Harden and Russ?
Yeah.
And then on top of that is if you can at least bluff your way into making the league believe that you're going to sign Harden for the max, all of a sudden what you can get for him goes from Jeremy Lamb, Stephen Adams, Kevin Martin to Klay Thompson.
Yeah, you get that.
People will be throwing people at
you. You get Klay Thompson. And I think you get Klay Thompson and Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
At that point.
Which makes me that makes me nauseous a little bit.
Yeah, because Golden State would trade Klay Thompson and Harrison Barnes straight up for James Harden today.
The rumor when all that started was somebody said, Daryl Morey said, or one of the GMs said that if the Thunder wouldn't have waited... If the Thunder would have waited to the offseason, they wouldn't have got the same thing because they'd seen him in a posture of desperation, I guess. But
I mean, and there's the train of thought that Harden just says, well, the thing is that they could have matched any contract that was given out. But it's this, the sign and trades are hard because if they, sorry, the sign trades are hard because the teams know that you're trying to get that this yeah. player wants to leave, and they're going to just, they're going like to hold back. So maybe they don't get Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes. Maybe they get Klay Thompson, Draymond Green.
Yeah.
You know, the sign and trades are complicated. They're tough. And you know, look what the Kings got for Tyreke Evans. They got Grievous Vasquez, you know, and people, I mean, that's, you know, 75 cents on the dollar there yeah. for Tyreke.
You don't see a lot of good sign and trade trades.
No, it's, they're too difficult to construct, and it,
you're just trying to get back anything at that point.
Yeah. And they're, and I think if we waited to that point, the animosity towards James Harden would have been even more, mm-hmm. more so because yeah. he's saying, like, basically the Thunder said, you know, here's the money that we want to give you. Here's the role that you're going to be in here in Oklahoma City. Take it or leave it. And he left it.
Can't blame him either. Can't blame either side.
No. I mean, the Thunder can't give out that many max contracts, and they have Kevin Durant.
Yep.
Like, sorry, James, you can't. You're not going to be the man on this team.
You're not that good.
You're our third best player. Yeah.
Yep. Next question from Brian Matthews as well. He'd like to hear a discussion about free agents choosing markets. I think this is a big question as you watch Mike Miller, Darrell Wright, which is all the only two that we really know that we kind of pursued.
Yeah.
Both of them choose Portland and Memphis over it, which I think a lot of that was contract and role.
Yes.
Probably more so. We're looking for a seventh man. Those guys are looking for a sixth man or possible. I mean, Mike Miller, if he wants it, can play 20 to 30 minutes a game for Memphis.
I don't know that he can do that.
I mean, but I'm saying, like, as far as what they
well,
need.
Well, yeah, they would, the minutes would be available. He'd be physically, gone. He doesn't have that ability anymore. But, yeah, I mean, he's going to have a significant role with Memphis. In Oklahoma City, he's going to have about the same role he did in Miami, where he's going to get some DMPs, and he's going to come in and, you know, be able to shoot 10 times sometimes. But
which is why I think in the end Mike Miller's going to realize that he made a mistake.
Yeah. And also, I mean, Mike Miller played in Memphis for a long time.
He lives in Memphis still. Has a house.
Has a house in Memphis. I think that actually goes into it quite a bit. For any of you that are married out there, he probably had to ask his wife what she thought.
Yep.
And she said, she probably said,
let's leave our kids
in school. I'm not going to Oklahoma City.
Yeah. It's true.
I'm not going there. You know, we're going to get our money regardless. Let's go back home.
Yep.
Like, you've won two championships back to back. You're not guaranteed to win another championship with Oklahoma City. I'm not moving to Oklahoma City for, you know, a chance to get to the NBA finals
for 7 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, let's go back home, and our kids can go to the schools that they have grown up in, and all my friends are in Memphis. Like, I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but like that discussion, that discussion probably happened.
There is part of it to me that makes me nervous about people picking our market. Like, I seeing those two guys go, like, and it's probably, like I said, it's probably both roles, and it's probably other factors. Like, Darrell Wright, hell, I'd want to go play for Portland.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun team to go, because you're going to score, and you're going to shoot, and they're going to chunk the ball.
And he's going to play a lot
in
Portland, and Portland's got a nice squad now.
And he's not the kind of guy, Darrell Wright's not the kind of guy, it doesn't seem like, that's ready to, because where Miami started doing well is they didn't sign Darrell Wright either. They signed the Ray Allens and the
Mike Millers. They even had Darrell Wright before the big, you know, after the big three deal.
The Shane Battiers. They sign all these guys that are in kind of the last contract. And so what they are, they're not chasing a championship necessarily, but they kind of are.
Yeah.
Darrell Wright's not in the place to do that yet.
He's just, you know, he was probably interested in the Thunder. They said, we'll give you a minimum deal for this year, and we're not really ready to commit anything else to you other than that. You'll be our eighth or ninth man on the team. You'll get you know, 0 to 10 minutes a night.
That's the worst sales pitch of all time.
So, you know, you want to be a part of a championship caliber team, or, you know, or you're going to get a bigger role somewhere else. I mean, that's, those are your choices, because there's not minutes. He's backing up
Tabo. He's backing up maybe Lamb. He's
really Durant, though.
Yeah,
he's more of a small forward than he is a shooting guard.
Those positions have become one and the same in my mind. I think threes and twos are about the same these days.
And the Thunder, I think they are going to prioritize playing Jeremy Lamb this year.
Surely
they're gonna make sure that they're gonna figure out if he's a player or not.
That's true.
And we may not see it on the court, but they may see it in practice.
That's what's hard is, like, we don't know what these guys are seeing in practice. Do they see Lamb go up against, and they don't, like, they have notoriously have intense scrimmages.
Yeah.
Competitive scrimmages. And so you'll see moments where Tabo's trying to guard Jeremy Lamb, and I mean, they see things that we don't. Like, mm-hmm. Jeremy Lamb could be going off in practice, and they just know that it's about giving him time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't think the market thing has to do as much with Oklahoma City as it does with just fits.
Yeah, and it does go into, I mean, it makes a difference for a lot of players, though. I mean, a lot of guys want to be in New York. A lot of guys want to be in Los Angeles. Guys even want to be in Houston and places like that, you know, big cities, you know, big nightlife. You know, like, that goes into a lot of guys' decisions. It just does. And Oklahoma City, and Presti's done such a good job of this. He's done so well in the draft that he's been able to bring guys in to become a part of this culture of, you know, of a just a pure team. And, you know, it's hard to bring, you know, free agents into that. And he hasn't really tried to bring in key free agents.
Well, so the way I think of it, maybe in 5 years, if Russ and Kevin are still in Oklahoma City, that's when some guys are going to start taking sacrifices to come play on your team.
Yeah.
Because you look at LeBron and Cleveland, and who are the role players that took nothing to go play with him then, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was
Larry. What was his name?
Larry Hughes.
Larry Hughes.
He did not. He took a lot of money to come there.
Mo Williams. You know, like,
yeah.
Nobody jumped at LeBron when he's in Cleveland, but now he's.
Yeah, and, you know.
So just
these guys aren't in their prime. You know,
yeah.
Durant and Westbrook. We have to be reminded that they're not in their prime anymore.
4 years from their prime.
Yeah.
Just so crazy.
And again, I don't. A lot of this has to do with the new CBA and the rules, but the Thunder are going to have a hard time luring guys, I think, because it is a smaller market.
And they're not going to be willing to shell out big money for just random free agents.
No. So free agency may be a disappointing thing for Thunder fans, you know, a lot in the future. So, you know, it's hard with a small market. It does make a difference. But also money talks.
Yep.
Absolutely. And then also, you know, with the Mike Miller deal, I think that he really did go with where he was familiar with.
Sure.
With the Darrell Wright deal, it was, I think it had a lot to do with his role on the team and also cash.
Absolutely.
And then there's guys like Carmelo Anthony who just, you know, he wants to be in New York. Not that, I'm not saying
or the Thunder LA.
Had a chance. Yeah. Or according to ESPN, LA. But he, like,
let's just pull that story out of thin air.
Oh my gosh. Who's a free agent?
LeBron, Dwayne Wade.
Yeah. It's a lot of it does have, I mean, it just depends on the guy, mm-hmm. you know, and what they want. You know, Melo wanted to be in New York City. Like that appealed to him. And there'll be guys, you know, they signed Derek Fisher off the free agent market, and he, you know, that at least that first year we were excited about him, and he wanted to come to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, it's what's funny is how quickly we forget how he was maybe the second best player in the playoffs last year.
He played great.
Well, who knows what happens with the full season of him?
We don't win that Houston series without him. I don't think. He, you know, his role's got to be diminished.
Yeah, it won't be, but it should be.
But he, you know, he's a guy that did choose to come to Oklahoma City, and it's going to take a guy who has
exactly really, really twilight of the career,
you know, end of their career, you know, a guy with good character, because the Thunder are not gonna go.
That's why I thought Shane Battier was coming.
Oh man, I know.
I thought he was coming to
Thunder. I really hoped that. You know, that would have been a great signing for the Thunder, but
oh, gosh, I mean, that's the championship last year.
Yeah, and he even said he was choosing between Oklahoma City and Miami.
I thought, I mean, gosh, also, I was literally tweeting at him every day. All right. That's probably why I didn't come here. They have a lot of psychopaths. We got two more little random pieces for our podcast this morning. The first one is, what is our say what contract of the offseason?
Say what?
So this is a contract that we feel like, for one reason or another, is outrageous. I want to start with Al Jefferson signing with the Bobcats. 3 years at $41 million. I like Al Jefferson offensively.
Yeah.
That's all.
He's really good, though.
Yeah, he is really good. But that is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money to throw at Al Jefferson.
He's getting old.
How old is he?
I don't know. He looks like he's 60.
He's still in his 20s.
Yeah.
But he is, I mean, if you're a fantasy basketball person, go after Al Jefferson.
He's going to get as many touches as he wants.
They're going to, I mean, it would not shock me if
he's
he was
28.
Like, if he was a 20, you know, 27 and 13 guy this year. I mean, he's gonna get his touches, and he's gonna be the star of that team. But that is an outrageous amount of money for a guy who, you know, they went from the very worst team in the league to maybe the fifth worst team in the league. I mean, they're not that much better. Now they just have a guy. Now they just have a black hole to throw the ball to. But that contract is nuts.
So what's yours?
Mine's on the Andrei Kirilenko contract.
Yeah.
You know, he's got 2 years at $3.1 million, which is their mid-level.
No possible way that he's not getting money under the table in Russia.
I mean, it's insane. That contract is insane. He was getting three times that much in Minnesota. And I don't know.
Turn it down.
I don't know what happened, but he even said recently, he came out and said that he had opted out of his contract so that he could sign a multi-year deal with Minnesota, and that didn't happen.
No, the Nets are going to be fun to watch.
They're going to be really good.
I think they're going to be really good.
I mean, and Kirilenko solidifies that because he can play the three and the four.
Yep. He can defend LeBron.
He can, yeah.
Another body to throw at LeBron.
He's a difference maker, and he's making, you know, $3.1 million, which is absolutely just crazy below his market value. I don't get it, but I.
That's why I'd be your see what.
I said what?
Say what? All right, our last little piece of today. Who is our pour one out fan base this offseason? So one fan base that we feel like deserves a little bit of our sympathy. And I'm going to go with the Boston Celtics.
Okay.
I don't hate what they're doing in the sense of they just realized that they were on the verge of, I love the Brad Stevens hire. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be a bad year or two. And so their hope is that they get, I mean, there's about five, what they're saying, all-star level talents coming out next year's draft. They hope they get one of those five, because if they don't, it's going to be a long process. And Boston's probably not the most patient fan base with it either. So
no, it's going to be a tough year in Boston, but they're going to have the understanding that they're going to try to get a high lotto pick.
Wiggins,
they want Wiggins or Jabari Parker or somebody like that to come and change their franchise, and they may have to trade Rondo.
Yeah.
You know, down the road to make that happen, because Rondo alone, if he does come back, you know, in a decent time frame, he will get that team by himself, you close know, to the 30, the 30 wins.
Yeah.
At least. I mean, he's worth about 30 wins to that team.
Which is crazy. He's so good.
He's really good.
What do you got, Andrew?
I'm pouring out for the New York Knicks. I don't love what they did in the offseason, especially the Andrea Bargnani deal. It just seemed like such a reactionary deal to what happened in Brooklyn.
Which is,
it's just, it's comical. Like, why are you trading? Yeah, I mean, they didn't trade much for him. You know, Marcus Camby, Steve Novak, and Quentin Richardson, obviously none of those guys are any good anymore. But you're going to spend $10 million on Andrea Bargnani for the next 2 years?
They just didn't have enough bad contracts. They wanted another one.
That's an Isaiah Thomas deal.
Very, 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 very.
I mean, that's a disaster.
So they signed him, and then they added Ron Artest.
Yeah, they got Meta, and they have J.R. Smith. I mean, they got a dose of crazy on their team.
They do have a dose of crazy.
I don't know about putting Meta World Peace and J.R. Smith on the same team.
Meta World Peace, can we just talk about
that? And Kenyon Martin.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, what are you doing?
That's funny.
You're really going to put those three guys on the same team? I just feel sorry for Pablo Prigioni.
Mm-hmm. He's going to have a tough year.
He's just, you know, he's going to want to, you know, play basketball and go home and, you know, eat dinner with his family.
Instead, he's going to be...
He's going to be yelled at by Meta and Kenyon Martin and J.R. Smith and... Then Andrea Bargnani's going to be
doing whatever he does.
Eating pasta all day.
Oh, gosh. Now, hold on. Are they both Italian? What's Pablo? Is he Spanish?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't.
The questions
I think he
that
is.
Don't really matter.
Oh, it matters.
Oh. Right, we're going to look that up, and this is what we're going to end our podcast with. Pablo Prigioni.
I just don't really know what the Knicks were doing.
It really was the worst reactionary move in the history of the NBA.
Oh, he's an Argentine.
Ooh, ah.
Yeah, I should have known that. And he's an older Argentine.
What? Too.
Yeah, he's old. Do you know that?
Oh.
He's 36.
What?
Yeah. Pablo's 36. He's been playing in the EuroLeague for forever.
So there's no question that the Knicks are the oldest team in the NBA.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's what I'm saying. Like, Pablo's, he just doesn't fit in with that crew.
Oh, he's just trying to be a middle-aged man.
Yeah. He's 36.
All right, ladies and gentlemen,
he's got a mortgage.
He's working on his 401k. Yeah. That's all we have for today's podcast. Thanks for joining us. We really do appreciate you. Remember, follow us on Twitter at DDD Podcast. Check us out in Podcaster on your smartphone or download us from iTunes. Search Down to Dunk Podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.